Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, yes, welcome again. Welcome, congregation, to a... People like my priestly
voice.
Do
they like it?
Yes, your priest voice.
Do they?
They like my priestly voice. Welcome.
I'm not sure I do.
Do you not?
Fingernails down the board, that is.
Anyway, it's time to reveal your trespasses and your sins, and then to be judged. Right here on the Confessions podcast, brought to you by Greatest Hits Radio, Stern Sister Susie is dans le pub.
Uh-huh.
Brother Matthew is chilling in the gutter with his shades on.
With my shades on in the gutter. No shades today. I decided against the shades.
Okay, but metaphorical shades?
Metaphorical shades?
Yes, looking cool.
They don't exist.
Coming up, we visit the... they obviously can exist metaphorically.
No. Well, the metaphorical shades, so they don't exist.
Yes, but...
Everything metaphorical doesn't exist.
No.
That's right.
We visit the parish notice board and add to the list of shame those confessions which were not suitable for broadcast. Take a trip to Disney World with Bruce and Shirley for the confession from the crypt. You'll also get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, 4 till 7, Monday to Friday. Thank you. Including James' disgusting drunken night in Fresh as Fruit and Rotting Vegetables, Nigel's tunnel tale in Gonna Write a Classic, Jason's confession, Stand and Deliver. But first, it's Brian's under siege story, Filthy Lucre.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Our confession comes from Brian. Thank you, Simon, Matt, Susie and the team. I've been a long-time listener to Confessions at Drive Time. Thought I would seek forgiveness of my own. 11 years ago, my fiancé, now wife, had just moved into a cosy terrace house in West Yorkshire. We'd taken a few days off to unpack the boxes, get the house in order, you know how it goes. After the last lot was offloaded, following a brief romantic lunch atop some boxes, filled with the glee of a new home, my wife and I agreed that she would tackle the upstairs boxes and I would handle the kitchen and the living room. I started well, but after a few boxes, lost interest and went in search of my games console. Having ensured the fridge, there'll be a few nodding.
Yes,
sounds like my situation. Having ensured the fridge was stocked with a few ales earlier in the day, they had now reached the appropriate temperature and I dutifully set up the television and console to have a well-deserved rest. Several ales in and making good work of storming the beaches of Normandy.
Okay.
Is that Call of Duty?
Call of Duty, I think that is,
okay.
Yeah.
I saw a flicker of a man pass our window. Through the frosted glass of our front door, I saw the shadow of a man glancing furtively left and right. He looked like a wrong'un to me. I was confident that he was a would-be burglar. You can tell, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Said ne'er-do-well then produced the shadow of a set of bolt cutters and began going to work on the hinges of our front door.
Wow.
Bolt cutters, front door and the hinges. Yeah. Maybe he's right. Chaos ensued as I leapt into action across the sofa to confront them. However, the door was locked and there was no key to be seen in reach. So I put all my 15 stone of fury against the door to brace it, shouting some very choice words through the door at the burglar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He muffled something back and continued to work the cutters. He obviously meant business. I shouted to my wife upstairs to ring the police as we were clearly under attack. Another muffled voice came through the door. I shouted back that if he was to come in, he wouldn't end well for him and that the police were on their way. Hoping to heaven that I wouldn't have to follow through on my brave words, as all I had to hand was a feather duster and some Mr. Sheen.
Oh, right.
Just not really advised for fighting crime.
No.
He continued working away with the bolt cutters. By this time, my wife was being reassured that there were several response units blue lighting their way to the area, as there was clearly an imminent threat. The gall this burglar had to keep going despite my exhaustive profanity was disconcerting, to say the least. I finally summoned up my strength and with all the poise and courage of a general, delivering an eve of war battle speech, I firmly shouted, "The police are on their way, so you'd better scram."
Scram. Oh,
or words to that effect. Yeah. At this point, I felt the letterbox open against my now dead leg and was shocked to think that this relentless burglar was now trying to come in through the letterbox. Then, in a voice that, if pushed, was something like Ray Winston's.
Oh, really? Well, that's fortunate.
Yes.
Okay, here we go then.
The burglar said, "I've only come for what is mine."
Oh.
Oh.
Now, these were chilling words, let me tell you. What precisely did he think was his? My games console? The house? My worldly goods? I encouraged him to go away immediately. Mr. Winston then calls through the letterbox, "You, Sonny Jim, need to pipe down." Pipe Dan.
Dan.
This was
Dan.
Clearly like one of those home invasion movies. I needed to protect my property with all my wit and guile. How many assailants were there? Were they wearing masks? Did any of them look like the invaders in No One Will Save You? Where was my hockey stick when I needed it? Anyway, then Ray was back. "Let me be clear," he said. "I've come for one thing and one thing only." OMG, I thought. Is it me he's after? My games console again? My wife? Finally gets mentioned.
Yes, I was going to say, games console came first, though. Yeah.
My heart was pounding, my palms were sweating. Ray says, "I'm here, sunshine, to take the for sale sign down from your house." The guy was an estate agent's underling. For heaven's sake. Absolutely mortified, I tiptoed away from the front door, signalling to my wife to cancel the cavalry, as it had been a somewhat embarrassing misunderstanding. He finished wrenching out the sign from the brickwork beside our doorframe, loaded it into a van and hightailed it down the street. I swear I could still hear his mate's laughter at the bottom of the road, just as the sound of sirens flooded the air. So I obviously need to seek forgiveness, firstly from my wife for panicking her into thinking we were being invaded, and for the fact that we couldn't show our faces in town for a while. At least she was now assured that I could handle such a situation with dignity and calmness should it arise again, yeah. Although yeah, she still does answer the door 90% of the time. Secondly, apologise to the police, who were only slightly amused, having dashed to the scene in search of a prolific burglar, only to find that we'd wasted quite a few officers' valuable time. But we didn't realise that at the time. Thirdly, to the poor fella who looked like a wrong'un, who was berated through a frosted door, but who undoubtedly had an amusing tale to tell when he was down the pub that evening. Well, he might just think that, Brian, you're a little bit strange for judging someone on their silhouette.
Mm.
Mind you, I suppose the big pliers would have scared most people. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Brian, I feel like, you know, the person could have knocked on the door and just said what they were going to do before they started doing
That's
it.
True.
So I kind of understand where he's coming from there. However, he was playing video games when he should have been unpacking and drinking beer. And for that reason, I can't forgive him, because just get the thing sorted you're supposed to be doing. I bet his wife was working really hard upstairs.
I suspect she wasn't taking a well-earned rest with some beers and Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, if we're going to damn people for playing video games and drinking beers, then there's going to be a whole load of line of people who are guilty. And I am not going to be blaming them. But I agree with Suze. Who doesn't knock on the door? You would knock on the door and say, "I'm taking the for sale sign down." I remember with our house, I had to take the for sale sign down myself. It was there for weeks. I'm to take it down myself. Imagine that.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
I'm what with you heating it off? And...
Yeah, Gorilla Man, yanking it out of the earth. So yeah, I wish you'd come round to mine.
Okay, well, the estate agent underling.
Yeah. Come round with your bolt cutters and get rid of mine. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Just as well he had a Ray Winston voice, don't you think?
Yes, it is always fortunate when that happens, yeah, every time.
Very, very useful.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yeah, if you have a confession that requires a Ray Winston voice, I'm your man, by the way.
Yeah.
But I do think bolt cutter man should have knocked on the door. I mean, because if you're pulling, you know, metal bits out of someone's house, it's polite just to knock.
That is very much the sensible option, that, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yours?
I feel like the sign could have also just been in the garden. Didn't have to be on the house.
That's true. Why was it attached to the house in the first place?
Because sometimes it needs to be attached to the house.
Oh, okay. Well argued. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Metaphorically speaking. Right, let's go to the metaphorical parish notice board. Matt, we've got some lovely reviews, I hope.
Yes, sir, but the only reviews we want are the five-star reviews. So Neil Gorin has left us a five-star review on iTunes. "Excellence has returned with 100% forgiveness. An old treat is back," he says. "I always enjoyed the podcast from The Other Place, where Matt used to only forgive 2 out of 3 confessions." I don't remember that. "But such is the circle of life that we're back to the same show in different times with a new Matt that forgives all. Clearly, in those years in the wilderness, he's seen that forgiving is the greatest thing to do. Wilderness. My horsey friends will have something to say about that.
Yes. I mean, he's got a point.
He is right. Lionheart says, 5 stars, great team, great podcast. I must confess, this is my first Apple podcast review, but well worthy for such a hilarious show. From the throwaway lines by Matt, such as, show's been cancelled, better make those feasts last, to Simon's hilarious attempts at voices. That, I think, is when you found out that your show had been cancelled and you just bought some ice creams.
Oh, yeah, that's
to
true.
Make that the feasts last. Having listened to these confessions many years, I'm so pleased they're back. Robot420 says, cracking up, 5 stars, absolutely fantastic podcast. Love the mixture of the weekly roundup confessions along with retro ones from months ago. I'm loving cutting the grass while listening to your podcast and laughing out loud. Glad you're back. Would give you more stars if I could. I've introduced all my mates to this podcast so we can discuss it. Top show.
Well, nice. that is very nice. I'm slightly nervous about someone laughing a lot whilst mowing the lawn.
I thought that straight away.
Because you need to be very careful.
Yes. My mower, I use, I always wear my sandals whilst mowing the lawn.
No, not sandals.
What?
Shoes with...
No one wears shoes because it's
protect
it's sunny.
Your toes.
It's sunny outside. No one's wearing shoes while they're mowing the lawn.
No one is wearing flip-flops or sandals while cutting the grass.
Flip-flops is a little bit risque and continental, but I wear sandals very much as
Doc Martens.
Our ancestors wore
steel toe caps is what you need. Yeah. Anyway, now we have some correspondence from Debbie in West Lothian, I think, Suze.
Yes, we do, and she's got in touch to say thank you for bringing back the podcast. It cheers me right up when I'm doing the dishes, which is probably a better activity than mowing the lawn.
Yes.
I've listened to confessions since Radio 1 breakfast show days, and I remember talking and laughing about all the confessions at school. I was also a big fan of the books too, and even remember the telly programme.
Oh,
starting to feel a little old now. Anyway, my favourite confession was definitely in one of the books, and it involved a woman who was sprouting forth to her husband every day about how marvellous her new washing up liquid was and how long it lasted. I'd love to hear it again while I'm doing the dishes. Yours, hopefully.
Good luck with that one, Debbie. Because that was that a Radio 1 confession?
So what was going on there? Why was she so happy about her washing up liquid with a nod?
Her husband buy the cheap washing up liquid and kept filling up the bottle? Was that not?
That could well be right.
Yeah, no,
either
that makes
sense. Or he was weeing in the bottle or something.
Oh, you know? No. God. Not another wee confession.
Seems like a lot of effort to go to.
That's true.
To get some extra.
You got it in there?
Fairy liquid. He'd be eating those dishes.
And also, the consistency of the fairy liquid doesn't work.
No, it doesn't at all.
It'd be quite a light colour as well.
It would, yes. Yeah.
Oh. What's wrong with the traditional green colour?
Oh, it works on every level.
Anyway, yeah. Last week we mentioned that if you send us a message expressing your love of the podcast, we may send you a mug with my face on it, a mug with my mug on. Anyway, Susie Claypole has got in touch.
And she says, hi, Simon, Matt, Susie and the team.
Hi.
A dedicated listener and having had my 5-star review read out on the parish notice board in April, could I make a request to continue to spread the word at work by being the proud owner of one of your mugs and postcards? Every day, I travel home from work from Montague Clinical Simulation Centre, which is part of the local hospital Doncaster and Bassett Law Teaching Hospitals NHS. SFT's education and training facility.
Slightly too much information.
Too much, thanks, Susie. It brightens my day to listen to you all, and I'd love to be the proud owner of a mug and card as a wonderful reminder of my mention on the radio. Hopefully awaiting your kind consideration. Kind regards, Susie Claypole.
If only she'd given us more information about where she works.
Yeah, we've no idea. You need to be far more specific.
Yes.
She has to say that every time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll definitely send you something, I think. Can we send... I think we're going to send Susie something.
Yes, we can. Yes. Okay. What have we got in the cupboard? Something nice.
Well, it'll be a mug with and a postcard with my face on it.
With your face on it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it's a cartoon face, obviously.
Obviously.
Because the actual face would be too scary. Anyway, if you'd like some stuff from us, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk, but you do have to tell us how much you love us because we're very insecure. Mm-hmm. Quick couple of mentions to Matt Cherry, Claire Joyner and Pam Douglas, who were amongst those who tweeted the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, do your priest voice.
Mm.
Keep listening to the end of this podcast to hear this week's secret code phrase. as created by Brother Matt. And I realised why so many people were asking me to do my priest voice, because that was the catchphrase.
It was.
I'd forgotten that was the catchphrase.
We did, so you ended up doing
wow,
it.
Wow, it's really, really popular. Anyway, so so this week's code phrase will come at the end of the show.
Yes.
Now it's time for the not-for-broadcast roll call of shame, where we can tut, in Susie's case, or guffaw, in Matt's case. Starting this week with Chris. Chris, the fact that you started your confession by saying you were off to find some magic mushrooms was an indicator, I think, that you were never going to make it to the radio, what with it being druggy. Therefore, not allowed and not useful.
There's no way that gets on.
And also, Mr. C, it might have been the 1960s, but I thought it would have been obvious that there was only going to be one outcome of using thick hand towels instead of toilet paper when you went to the loo at work. Different times. Understandably, in fact, if you're going to do that, you need to do that at Matt's house, where he doesn't have fabric softener on the towels.
No,
and they're all like cardboard.
Nobody's using towels when they go to the loo. Anyway,
understandably, desperate times require desperate measures, especially as you were suffering the after effects of the previous night's stonkingly hot curry supper, followed by a fig and date pie.
Oh dear, fig and date.
But upon leaving the loo, you heard a large noise followed by a scream, and a few choice words indicates that you had jammed the waste pipe and caused all the contents to spill out the top of the cubicle next to you.
Next to you? Wow.
Spill out of the top? That must have been spill underneath. Anyway,
yeah.
We get the general drift. Resulted in poor old Alf having to go home and get himself cleaned up. Mm. I mean, there are two very, very good examples of stuff that was never, ever going to make it.
No chance.
And we tut disapprovingly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tut.
Thanks anyway. Getting back to those that did make the cut, it's James's tale of, okay, well, we're back with pee problems. Fresh as fruit and rotting vegetables. Thank you, the dead Kennedys.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession, you know how when you watch on Netflix and streamers like that, there's information in the top left corner which tells you the suitability and the kind of general certification of the thing. This one would have, you know, got language, nudity,
violence.
That kind of thing, violence. This one would have, I don't know, a 12 or a PG, contains bawdiness and that kind of, and,
excellent.
You know, toiletry business.
Hello.
It comes from James, not his real name, I believe. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, I'm writing to seek forgiveness for a romantic misadventure that happened when I first moved to Leeds for university in 2016. I'm now rapidly approaching 30 years old, imagine. With a wife I love very much. My wife adores your radio and podcast show, and while a lot of my friends know this story, my wife has no idea about it.
Oh, really?
So part of me hopes she hears this story on your show and laughs, so I can rest easy knowing that if it were to be mentioned by a friend, I can remind her that she did find it funny once.
Okay.
So that's a slightly contrived setup, but that's where we go. So obviously we're in dodgy territory. I was a very green 18-year-old on Freshers' Night, out with my new student accommodation mates. The lethal cocktail of hormones and alcohol, I was dancing away, trying to catch the eye of another fresher of the opposite sex. As the night drew to a close and the sea's fish population grew increasingly endangered, a very friendly, equally intoxicated girl, who we'll call Amy, asked if I'd like to buy her a drink. Of course, I said, probably a little too keenly, and off we staggered to the bar, where after a very lengthy wait, I ordered her a double vodka and orange juice. By the time it arrived, she said, "Oh, I don't want that now. You have it. I'll order us a cab." To which I thought, great. Having never tasted vodka, I took a sip and was repulsed. But being a skint student, I didn't want to see it go to waste, so downed it in one. To linger on the taste. This is only going one way. Before I knew it, the taxi dropped us off at her house in Headingley. It was an old terraced house with four floors that had been converted to hold as many students as possible. We've all seen places like that.
Definitely.
Amy led us down some steps to the basement level, where we walked through a kitchen full of dirty dishes, down a darkened corridor, oh, student life.
Yes.
Past what I assumed were other housemates' rooms and into her own. At this point, the vodka orange hit me, and the next thing I knew, I'd woken up in the pitch-black darkness with a very full bladder. I quietly climbed out of bed, still rather wobbly, and blindly felt around the walls for a door handle. I didn't want to turn the light on and disturb my new friend, partly because I couldn't remember what had happened, whether it had gone well or not, and partly because her name had also been lost to the vodka and orange.
Oh my goodness.
Eventually, I found my phone and used the screen to light the way to a door handle. At last, I was out of the room, but now faced a darkened hallway where any door could either be a bathroom or an angry housemate.
Yeah.
As my bladder was ready to burst, I remember we came through the kitchen, so I headed for the sink. I found the kitchen sink full of dishes, so I carefully took them all out, did what I had to do, ran the tap for a couple of seconds, and then placed the washing up back in to cover my tracks.
Okay.
I stumbled back through the darkness into bed, leaving the house spotless and my bladder empty. In the morning, I found myself rudely awakened by Amy and an irate housemate. Did you spend a penny over my house? Not exactly what she said. Anyway, she snapped those words, and it wasn't radio-friendly language. Of course not. Who would do that? I said. But I couldn't say no because I did in the sink. Could I? I couldn't say that. Someone else has done it, her housemate said. Anyway, they walked off, mentioning that it must have been one of the other housemate's visitors, at which point I knew I'd better get out of Dodge. Still worse for wear, I gathered my belongings and snuck out down the corridor and through the kitchen to escape. As I passed through the kitchen, I glanced at the sink full of dirty dishes that I'd left in there a few hours earlier, and it was then I noticed that under the dishes was one of those old-fashioned plastic washing-up bowls. The dishes had been soaking overnight in some very odd-looking water.
Oh.
I hadn't noticed the bowl, you see.
Oh.
I walked out of the door and never looked back. Some years later, I served Amy at the local student union bar. Thankfully, I wasn't recognised. I'd like to ask forgiveness from Amy and all our housemates for presumably having to deal with the washing up later that morning. I'd like to also ask my own housemates for forgiveness for throwing away our own washing up bowl with no explanation later that day. Yours, regretfully, James, who is obviously hoping that his his wife adores that story so much that she's not going to have a problem. Sister Susie goes first.
Oh, James, I'm going to tell you now, I don't think your wife is going to particularly find it funny. Well, maybe she will, but I don't, it's just unforgivable. It made me feel sick. Also, who drinks vodka and orange juice when you're a student? It's just going to mix with anything else you've drunk, and that's just not going to end well. But I can't forgive you. You should have just found the toilet. If there were that many rooms, then it would have been labelled.
James should have taken notice of your advice, Susie. Mm. Sometimes a sparkling water is appropriate.
Exactly.
Yes, so true.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, my experience of student housing was that the toilet door was never, there was never any signs. There was not a lot of organisation at all, in fact, in most student accommodation. So you do what you can, don't you? And he did what he could. I mean, he thought he was doing the right thing, didn't he? And using the sink. I mean, it's all pipes. It's just going different places. And he thought it was fine. But it now turns out that what he didn't know was about the washing up bowl. And that is, I think we can all agree, unfortunate. And which of us can honestly say we would have done, well, we maybe wouldn't have done the same thing, but we probably would have done, wouldn't we? We probably all would have. Which of us can say we've never done before?
Might
maybe
quite
all
difficult.
Of us, but I certainly wouldn't. Anyway, so for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Yeah, it's a pretty gross one from James. Here's the reaction on the people's verdict.
Nettie in Sheldon, though, says, I definitely forgive James. At least he looked for somewhere half appropriate. I know people, when heavily inebriated, who've opened the wardrobe door.
I mean, the only trouble with including things like this is that it provokes lots of others.
Yeah, no, we've had
loads of those. I do remember
those,
Billy Connolly, when he came on the breakfast show, he did a confession, which was a little bit scary, really, now I look back, really. Anyway, his was exactly the same, but he went in an urn, which he found in the middle of the night. It happened to be an urn full of ashes.
Of course, well, most urns are, aren't they?
Yes, I suppose. Yeah. Well, he thought it was a vase, I suppose.
Oh, right, okay.
Anyway, we don't need any more of those things.
No.
Still to come on the podcast, there's a case of a missing baby in the confession from the crypt and Nigel's secret tunnel tale. going to write a classic. But not before Jason's confession, Stand and Deliver.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Jason sends in today's confession. Dear Father Simon and the Heavenly Collective of Kindness and Forgiveness. By the way, the all supermarket names have been changed to protect the innocent in this story. Firstly, I want to stress that I am a very honest person who does not condone stealing. I am simply not that kind of person. I think you protest too much. Yet events transpired that seemed to take my usually honest self over to the dark side. My confession dates back 5 years to when we had just moved in to a sparkling, shiny, newly built house. It was the first time that we'd ever been fortunate enough to buy a new build, and we were excited to start the next chapter of family life in our new abode. On moving in, we soon discovered that our new home address would lead to delivery issues. The address wasn't recognized by companies who hadn't updated their sat-nav delivery databases, something I didn't know could even exist as a problem. One morning, not very long after moving in, I heard a knock at the front door. On answering, I saw white plastic bags of, shall we say, Safeway groceries waiting on a plastic delivery container. The delivery man had just gone back to his van to fetch the rest. Now, I was 99% sure that my wife hadn't made an online order from Safeway. I knew that we didn't have an account with them. I also knew that we didn't need a food delivery because we'd just been shopping the day before, but it was a 1% chance that I was willing to take. I helloed the delivery man and started packing up the bags, taking them through to the kitchen, a couple of short trips, and they were all up on the kitchen table. I returned to the front door, signed where the delivery man wanted, and wished him a good day. On closing, I shouted up the stairs to my children, "Girls, put your coats on and shoes, quickly, please." I heard the girls coming down. As I felt the outside temperature for all the bags on the table, "I didn't know we were going out, Dads," questioned my girls. "Any bags that felt cold were opened and their contents placed in the fridge or freezer accordingly. The rest were left to sit on the table." I hurried my two children out through the French doors at the back and then through the back garden gate. We were gone and out of the door in probably 70 seconds. We then walked across the field and off down the lane towards the park. The girls were delighted, having an unexpected morning trip and playtime. I was delighted too to have a delivery of food that I hadn't ordered or paid for sitting on my kitchen table. I unfolded the A4 paper printout that I had signed. It stated that the Fuseli shapes were out of stock and had been switched to Penny.
Ah.
Okay, well, no, you know, no problem really. Thank you all the same. The address at the top of the sheet said 10 Harford Grove, which I knew was over on the other side of the village. Our new address was 10 Harfield Grove.
Oh.
For a few small letters difference, a week's worth of free shopping. We hung around the park for a good hour. Enough time, I felt, for the delivery guy to realise his error, come back, knock at the door, see it was empty, and then get the whole thing written off as human error. The next few days, I tried to stay out as much as possible, just in case anyone came knocking. Forward a week or so, and another similar new address delivery issue. I ordered a garden table and chairs from finefare.com. After 2 weeks, nothing had arrived, so I called up and complained. The following week, the table and chairs finally did arrive, followed a day later by another identical table and chairs set. An unexpected two-for-one offer. The second set went straight onto eBay. I sat outside on my new chairs thinking how great my new delivery address situation was proving. What else might show up at the door? I was feeling a bit cocky. Probably another 2 weeks later, I arrived home from work, and on the kitchen table was a delivery package from, shall we say, BS Sports. Ka-ching, I thought. Here we go again. Some more freebies. Someone's got their delivery addresses in a mix. How I love this new build house. I opened the bag and discovered two men's T-shirts. I got them out and had a look. Both Nike, one blue and one grey. Both in a man's size large. Perfect. I was a size large, and I could always do with some new T-shirts. I tried them on. I figured that the grey one was the better of the two. Delighted, I made a coffee and sat down after a busy day. When the doorbell rang, I answered and found one of my new neighbours from across the road. He'd received a delivery note. It stated that his package had been left at 10 Harfield Grove. Father Simon, it was an embarrassing conversation.
Oh, dear.
I had to take his grey Nike T-shirt off and put it into the bag right there in front of him.
In front of him?
In front of him. No. I stripped off in front of my neighbour. I felt the shame burning through me. It looked as though I was trying to steal his clothes. I guess
yes,
I actually was
indeed you
trying
were.
To steal his clothes. But it was much easier to do this from a faceless company that would never catch me. It was a whole different thing when it's your new neighbour a few houses down. Sadly, our moving-in delivery freebies came to an end that day. Father Simon asked forgiveness for my 2 months of criminality. Despite what transpired, I really am a very honest person. Yes, you've made that point, Jason. I promise I learned my lesson that embarrassing afternoon. I occasionally see the neighbour and always try to look the other way and pretend not to have noticed him. The shame and embarrassment still stings to this day. Well, you say that now, but a life of 2 weeks of crime is what you're confessing to. Dishonesty, rank dishonesty. I know where Sister Susie is going to go on this one.
Jason, I think, you know, you sound like you weren't very sorry at all until it came back and bit you on the bottom, didn't it? I can't imagine your face when you were had to take that T-shirt off. That's so, so bad. And I just don't think you were very sorry. So I feel like you deserved what you got, really. And you can't take people's shopping. What about the poor person whose shopping it was? They would be without shopping for a week. And who knows, they might work really hard, not be able to go and get them, which is why they was getting it delivered. So therefore, I can't forgive you.
Maybe the money would then have been deducted from the delivery guy. You never know, you know, who's going to be the person that's going to suffer. However, I suspect a brother from another gutter is going to say it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Because, right, number one, you know, he got his comeuppance, didn't he? And I imagine the shame of having to strip off in front of one of your neighbours at the doorstep and all that entails. He obviously has learned his lesson from that. And it might have been thrilling to get, you know, other people shopping. Is like other people's kids, delightful to begin with, but very, very tiresome very soon after that. So for that reason, right. I'm going to forgive.
Because you don't like other people's children.
Well, none of us do we, if we're honest.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Okay, so today's confession comes from Nigel. It has a PG certificate, I think, for general debauchery. No, Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, my confession starts with me failing the 11 plus in 1967. My parents had been keen that I follow my nauseatingly smarter older brother into the higher echelons of academia. He later studied economics at Cambridge, but sent me instead to a well-known preparatory school, St. Custard's, to reset my 11 plus. As the 13 plus to be taken 2 years later. No one realised at the time that my exam failure was actually because of my OCD, which resulted in my inability to complete any exam since then. Anyway, I digress. It is important to my confession to note that I was a day boy at St. Custard's, okay? The declined alternative being boarding, with occasional home visits at weekends. Wednesday afternoons were designated to hobby sessions, and my chosen subject of photography was overseen by an aging science master who smelt of a combination of burnt sulfur and body odour, having maintained the habit of wearing his lab coat over a shabby wool suit even on the hottest summer days since 1947.
Okay.
Wow.
Right.
A loft room of this mock Elizabethan Gothic Victorian pile was the chosen location of the dark room. Needless to say, given the attention span of this group of wayward boys and the obligatory lack of light, there was ample opportunity to slip away unnoticed. Ever curious, I discovered behind a worm-ridden crumbling wardrobe, standing in one corner of the dark room, a small culvert at floor level in the otherwise solid wall that naturally required further investigation. Feeling emboldened by my closest crew and oblivious to the myopic attention of Mr. Shabby, I wriggled into the void, encouraged by a dim light beyond the meter or so length of culvert. The space opened up, and I encouraged my mates to follow. "Come on, chums," I said reassuringly. We proceeded to crawl tentatively along the beams, keen to avoid stepping onto the ceiling boards either side. The dim light had been coming from a large glass atrium-style dome in the floor of the attic. I later figured that the dome had originally been lit from glass panels in the sloping roof above, and which had many years before been replaced by tiles. But anyway, time was running on, and I was getting nervous. Realising the precarious nature of my indiscretion, I reluctantly beckoned to my chums that we should slip away. Back in the dark room, our absence not noticed at all by Mr. Shabby, but some of the other boys being boarders, all vowed that they would return that night. I, clearly, caught my train home as usual, eager to have first-hand reports of the night's events the next morning. So, the next day, at assembly, Mr. Grimes, our black gown-wearing, cane-swishing tombstone of a headmaster, was in a particularly somber mood, and my partners in crime were nowhere to be seen. If other boys knew anything about anything, they were not letting on, presumably for fear of reprisals. Clearly, the school wanted to bury whatever had happened the night before because my chums had obviously been caught in the attic and were now doing some awful penance beyond the retribution of embarrassed parents. You see, it turns out that the hidden dome was above the room of Miss Bergstrom, the games mistress.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Who, amongst her many skills, could spot children in the roof when needed.
Well, yeah. Good for her.
And this she had done. As a result, the dark room was sealed off, declared off limits, and the matter was not spoken of ever again. I seek collective forgiveness, not for betraying the seemingly innocent dignity of the heavenly Miss Bergstrom, the games mistress, but of the boys I led astray who suffered untold scarring at a most important developmental time in their lives, with potentially dire consequences that they probably carried with them into their adulthood. I took quite a lot out of that one.
Yes, I'll bet. Yeah.
Anyway, so it's Nigel and his mates in the attic of St. Custard's. Obviously, Nigel wasn't involved in going back later that night.
No.
But
no.
Miss Bergstrom spotted the wrong ones and pointed them out, and there's trouble. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Nigel egged them on, really, didn't he? And what were they even doing that in the first place? They should have been doing something else. You're at a boarding school. You're at school. You should be learning, not finding, you know, Narnia behind the wardrobe.
It did sound a bit Narnia, didn't it? Yes. The heavenly delights behind the wardrobe.
Plenty of those.
Yes. Was it Turkish Delight or was it Miss Bergstrom?
One of them could have seriously hurt themselves.
They
could have been.
And, you know, luckily that didn't happen, but it could have. And for that reason, I'm not going to forgive. Also, that teacher, no, she doesn't deserve that either. So not forgiven, Nigel, at all.
Very reassuring to have the voice of responsibility from the pub. Brother Matthew. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and quite right, Mr. Bergstrom, she did the right thing. She spotted them, and good for her. And I was also expecting that something was going to happen where they're all going to fall through the ceiling. So that didn't happen either. So you know, in a way, that's worked out well for everyone. And it strikes me that this is a design flaw. It's a design flaw in the school.
The Elizabethan Gothic pile.
We found a problem with the system. It's not that Nigel needs to be asked for forgiveness. It's something to do with the system in that school that thinks it's so much better than everyone else because they don't teach you that at RADA. So for that reason, I'm going
to
forgive.
Where did RADA come from?
I think it's an acting school.
What's that got to do with
thinks
kids
it's better than,
in an attic?
And then the kids in the attic. I think everyone else has got my drift there, haven't they? Yeah.
No.
Pretty sure. No need for any more explanation from that. That's what they're saying. Yeah. Understood. Move on.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, metaphorically, it made sense.
Metaphorically.
But there's no other way that it made sense at all. And apologies also to Miss Bergstrom, who won't recognise herself in that tale because we changed the name. Well, I suppose we changed the name, but also she would recognise herself because... Never mind.
Yes.
Anyway. Time to rewind a little bit of time now and dust off a confession from the crypt. This request comes from Richard. Hello, Simon, Matt and Susie. Please can I request a crypt confession? It involves a holiday in Disneyland and a couple that were terrible at babysitting and very distracted by some Harley Davidson bikes. I remember laughing while I cooked my tea to this one. I think it was September the 21st.
Oh.
My birthday. I mean, that's not the reason, but he says, as there was a reference to the new Bond film being out.
Oh, right.
Okay, so Richard... from the Northwest Parish. Thank you very much. Yes, and if you could be specific, I mean, actually, Richard gives us a specific date.
I think he means the year, but...
Well, he says September the 21st.
No, September 21.
Oh, is it September? I saw that and I thought it must be about me.
It must be about... Yes. Oh, surely
it's about my birthday.
Is it my birthday again? Oh,
I see. I know, makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does sound.
It's from September 2021. Thank you, Richard, and the Northwest Parish. Successfully converted then from a Betamax that we dug out the garage into a lovely new WAV format. Here's Bruce and Shirley's confession. Oh, baby, what a big surprise.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Bruce and Shirley who send this in. I've changed the names.
Okay, I've already... Yeah, go on.
Dear Father Simon, Sister Susie, brother from the gutter, here we go then. Let me tell you, says Bruce, is what my guess is. Let me tell you a story of an everyday parent's nightmare. I'll change the names, as two of the people don't even know today...
Wow.
...that this happened.
Uh-oh.
So pour yourself a stiff drink, close the curtains, and I will begin. I think, Bruce, you're building your part up here. You're writing a confession at afternoon theatre, but anyway. He's painting pictures with words, that's
afternoon
what he's
doing. Theatre. Right, okay, cool.
Was that a thing, afternoon theatre?
It was. In the 70s. Anyway. Yeah,
a group of us decided to go on holiday to Florida to visit the home of the mouse with the big ears. Now, I know about the mangroves and the beaches and the swamps and Key West and Key Largo, yada, yada. But it was Disney World for us, baby. The Magic Kingdom, the rides, the overpriced character breakfasts, the choice of Disney music on the radio, the Disney-themed drinks at the bar, the Disney bedrooms, Disney food and Disney films on 24/7. I think the clue here for you, Bruce, is the world Disney.
Yeah.
And then world.
World. Afterwards. World of Disney.
World of Disney.
It's the world of Disney.
It's everything Disney that you could possibly want. That's what Disney World is all about. Well, one day, two of our group, who will rename Denise and David, wanted a day to themselves for some quality adult time without their child called Baby David. Not a very original name, really, considering the father, but we overlooked their lack of creativity and assumed it was because they were a gangster family or something like that, somewhere where the patriarchy still ruled and is waiting to be dismantled. Now, my guess is that might have been Shirley who added that bit. Yeah. So being the nice people that we always promised our fairy godmothers that we'd grow up to be, we said we would take baby Davy with us as we were going to visit downtown Miami. I mean, I wouldn't want to take a baby downtown Miami. But anyway, we volunteered. We were actually leaving the Magic Kingdom. So off we all set, full of the joys of spring. All of us, Denise and Big David, to presumably canoodle and frolic, whilst me and my wife, the borrowed baby David, and Jim and Babs from Birmingham, two others on our trip, we all set off in the big car. I'm not sure that borrowed baby is quite the right way to think of baby David. Whilst we were out, we decided to visit the Harley-Davidson showroom. And I think we were hoping to gain back some of our lost youth. Anyway, we had a lovely time looking around the showroom. There was the VR 1130cc Custom Cruiser. Very nice. The Dyne FXDX Super Glide. The Sportster 1202. All your favourites were there, Father Simon. We stroked the chrome. We sat on the leather. We imagined that we were on Route 66 with Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda and all that kind of thing.
Wow.
Anyway, by now, we were tired and it was gin o'clock. So we all met up outside the showroom to find somewhere to quench our thirst. We'd been walking for some time and I believe it was me, realised that we actually didn't have baby David with us anymore.
No.
I looked at Jim and Barbara, and they looked at us, and each of us said, I thought you had baby Davy. But no, neither of us did. Well, Jim's face turned white, and he and I ran at top speed back to the showroom. It was only a few minutes, but it felt like a lifetime. He ran faster than anyone had ever run ever before, only to find baby Davy still asleep in the pushchair next to, I must say, a rather stunning touring 1750 Ultra.
Oh,
immaculate
no.
condition, low mileage, heated grips as well.
Really? Mm. Oh, good.
Jim must have been daydreaming about riding this bike with the wind blowing through his last few strands of hair, as it was he. It was he who had forgotten that he had the baby in his control, except that he didn't. Anyway, all safe, we went to fill our glasses with some strong pop to calm ourselves. Later on, Denise and Dave joined us. They could not understand why we all looked somewhat shaken and stirred.
Mm-hmm.
And not talking to each other. Also, we never offered to look after the baby again, for obvious reasons, but I need seek forgiveness Not really from Dave and Denise, but from Baby Davey, as we completely forgot that we had him, which is not really something that grown-ups should do.
No.
To this day, Father Simon, they don't know that we lost the most precious thing in their life whilst we were dreaming of driving those Harleys. So it was kind of... I'm not that impressed with Bruce and Shirley, really. Distracted by the chrome, they forgot about the baby. Mm. I don't think I'm going to forgive. What do you think, Sister Susie, the voice of responsibility?
Well, I just think the fact that it was that long ago and they can still remember all the details about the particular Harley that it was just shows you how distracted they were, and they didn't really care about baby Davy. So I just think, no, not forgiven. If you're going to take your friend's baby, you look after it and you don't lose it.
I think that's a fair comment. Let's try the brother from the gutter.
Well, I'm going to forgive. number one, I went to Florida once. I shan't be going back. A little bit too hot for my liking, and I thought
bit
the reference
too bling
to,
as well.
Bit too, bit of a, quite a lot of bling there. I thought the reference to last few strands of hair that felt unnecessary. But I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive because of the shaken not stirred reference on today of all days. So yes, I am forgiving again.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
You have to say that's a bit of a shocker. Forgetting your own baby is one thing, which I know does happen occasionally, but forgetting someone else's baby...
Almost unforgivable, but not quite.
Oh, is that
right? Fortunate for me. Yeah.
If you have a request for a retro confession you'd like to hear again, or indeed you have a confession you think you deserve some forgiveness for, and you've probably got quite a few by now. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk is where you send it. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is, what's that in the furry liquid? What's that in the furry liquid?
If you've listened
that
this far...
That is the secret code phrase.
You can tweet me at Simon Mayo on X or Twitter, or Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads. And also on Blue Sky, coolest of cool people.
They tend to be pretty prompt as well about letting you know the code phrase, don't they?
They usually win. If you've listened this far, tweet all of that, X all of that, thread all of that, you know. Finally, don't forget to follow, link and subscribe. Tell everybody, knock on their door, tell them that we're back. Anyway, until next time, from the pub, this is Sister Susie.
Last orders.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Wav.
Wav?
Wav.
The Wav file.
Wickedy wah wah wav.